All right, guys, if we could find a seat. Good morning. Good morning, guys online. I gotta, you know, you gotta love men's ministry. You gotta love men's ministry. So Ryan calls me at 6:30 this morning, and he said all the chairs are on the tables. Pressure washing starts at 7 a.m. at Four Rivers. He says, what do we do? I said, well, put the chairs down, and Ryan got the guys to move it back to 8 a.m., which means that we've got to leave here about 5 till 8. Next thing he says is Four Rivers is out of coffee. I'm like, oh, can't have no coffee. I said, well, I'm going to run by Dunkin', and I'll pick up the coffee. We'll just get the regular coffee, and then Chris can make it. I run into Dunkin' Donuts. Guess who I see? Fred at the counter. So I run in there this morning, and I throw the bag in front. I said, put his bill and my bill on my card. And Fred goes, no, I got it. I mean, this is what men do, all right? We improvise. We pivot. And so thank you, Fred, for the coffee this morning. Thank you, Ryan, for getting all the chairs down and eventually up. Hey, that's what men do. We crush roaches with our hands. I remember one time my daughter had a roach in her bathroom. She's like, Daddy, bring the Raid. Bring the Raid. And I'm like, why do I need Raid? So I run in her bathroom and the roach is on the ceiling. And she's like, you're just going to crush it with your hand. I'm like, yeah. Who wants to shake my hand now? All right, Ryan, open us up.
Did you guys see that online?
That was a big one.
Just to reiterate, so we are going to try and wrap up 5 minutes till this morning. And what I'm going to ask everyone to do at that point is to, we'll do a hard close probably around 7:55 from our table time. And then if you guys could just help us get the chairs onto the table just to help the Four River staff out, because there's so many of us, it'll just be like that. Put your chairs up on the tables, and then if at that point you guys could help take the conversation and move out either into the parking lot, or you guys can go out to breakfast, but just to get out of their way right at 8 o'clock, just because the manager, I guess, forgot that we were meeting this morning, and he was very accommodating to, you know, just say, oh my gosh, let me push it back. And I said, well, we'll do our part too and try to get out of your way right at 8 o'clock. So thank you guys for helping with that. Keith, why don't you come on up? Keith is going to introduce this morning's teaching fellow, and he's the teaching fellow captain of the month, actually, and really looking forward to this morning. So, Keith, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Good morning, guys. Bob is our table captain, and he's going to continue our talk today on David and how God reaches out and rescues us when we go astray. I'd like to introduce him a little bit. He went to the wrong academy. It's this place up along the Hudson River. No, in truth, we're all brothers except for one day a year, and I'm sure you all know what that day is. That's when the good guys win and the bad guys go home. Bob's lived down here about 4 or 5 years now. He's been coming to Ironman almost the whole time. He took over being our table captain when Rick Bonner abandoned us. He's been doing a good job leading us through. He has 3 daughters and 2 grandchildren. His grandson is 1 year old today. He's going to have an adult happy birthday party here pretty soon for him. And he goes to the Emmaus Church downtown. Open us up in a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Bob. Lord, I just ask you to be with us. I ask you to have a hedge of protection around every man in this room and around every man's family in this room. I ask you to let us hear Bob's words or your words through Bob, and let us put it into our heart and put it into practice. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I'm not going to talk directly about David today. I want to focus on the reason that God was so committed to rescuing him from his sin and not giving him what he deserved. I want to read 2 passages to get started, so if you would stand with me. The first passage is from Genesis 15, the second from Ezekiel 20. The first scene is God's covenant with Abraham, and the second is God's promise to restore Israel. So Genesis 15, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, that's God, passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And then through Ezekiel, God said to Israel, as a pleasing aroma, I will accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will manifest my holiness among you in the sight of the nations. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, the country that I swore to give to your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and all your deeds with which you have defiled yourself. And you will loathe yourself for all the evils you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God. The literal translation in Genesis 15 is that God cut a covenant with Abraham. It was the practice of the day for covenant makers to cut up animals and lay them out, and then walk between the severed pieces when making the covenant. The practice called on God to do to the covenant breaker what had been done to the animals. And whoever was bound by the covenant, one or both parties, would walk between the pieces. In Genesis 15, Abraham does not walk between the pieces. Only God does. God bound himself to the terms of that covenant, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. But then, having bound himself, he's now obligated himself to keep that promise. And so he tells the people through Ezekiel, the reason I'm restoring you to the land is not because you deserve it. It's for my name's sake. My reputation is on the line. I have to do this, and I will do this. And that turn of phrase should really shock us, that the sovereign God of the universe has to do something because of the promise that he made. But yet that's exactly what the author of Hebrews says. In Hebrews 6, the author says, when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. If this was a young men's group, I would have focused more on the consequences that David experienced, but I think given the age of most of us, we already know about consequences. I felt led to talk about the freedom from guilt and a sense of unworthiness, and more importantly, the freedom to press on because God is absolutely committed to us. While we are guilty and are unworthy, God has promised, sworn an oath to accomplish his purposes in our lives, and he will see us home. Paul told the Philippians when he opened his letter, he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And as he continued at the end of the chapter in verse 27, he said, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Just think on these three phrases. When God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, and those words just blow my mind. He guaranteed it with an oath. We have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So what do we do with this? Iron Man focuses on the phrase, iron sharpens iron, as it should. But I think the corollary to that phrase is its purpose, which is expressed in Philippians 1:27. We sharpen each other so we can stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. God has freed us from sin and guilt and ultimately from consequences in order that we may, in the words of Peter, proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As you focus on the questions and just reflect on God's unchangeable commitments that he secured to us with an oath. Fortunately, I only gave two questions today. I'd like to spend the time for the third question, taking prayer requests for each other, and then if you have time at the end to pray for each other. Let me just close with a word of prayer, and we'll get to our tables. Father, we thank you for your incomprehensible love to us, that you would bind yourself with an oath just to show us how firmly and utterly you're committed to our salvation. Just help us to take the encouragement that we should from that, and then to press on to following you because of your commitment to us. Just bless us now as we talk and pray for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Awesome. Will you give Bob a hand? You know how in the Psalms there's that you'll be reading through a psalm and then you'll hit just a point kind of just in the middle of the psalm where it just says like Selah. I feel like I need that because I feel like, Bob, you just shared a lot. You jammed a lot of just massive scripture with massive implication into 10 minutes. And I'm just like, I need that pause. I'm like, whoa, help me grasp what was just shared even in just those scripture verses that you shared, Bob. So thank you for just captaining this month. And I really appreciate the meat table. Will you guys give it up for the meat table? I just feel like they've done a great job this month and really can tell, Bob, that you spent a lot of time in preparation to put that together for us today. And I'm very thankful for you and for you guys. So we'll jump over to our table time, especially since we're going to be cutting it short. So guys, keep that in mind that I'm going to be coming up here just shortly after 7:50 just to kind of start ramping it down. So table captains, I'm going to hand the floor over to you guys.